Bill and Ted were neighbors. Bill had a dog that loved to chase cats. Ted had a cat that hated dogs. Whenever Bill came to visit Ted, his dog would come along. And the dog would chase the cat up a certain old maple tree in Ted's yard. The same scene would take place every single time Bill came to visit Ted. After a couple of years, Ted decided it was time to cut down that old maple tree. And a couple of days later, Bill and his dog came to visit. Out around the house ran the cat with the dog right on his tail. Suddenly, about 30 feet in the air, the cat realized something was very different. The tree was gone. Ah, change. Sometimes it surprises us, takes us unexpectedly, as it did this poor cat looking for that old maple tree. Sometimes change is welcome, and sometimes it's not. But the reality in life is that change happens, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen. You find yourselves in a time of change. What was is no longer the same, and what is to come that is on the horizon, oh wow, it's yet to be discovered, isn't it? Likewise, the Israelites in today's scripture reading from Deuteronomy find themselves on the cusp of something new. The journey that got them to this point where they were on this mountaintop had many twists and turns, many highs, many lows. And finally, when they felt they had reached their goal, a moment to bring them great joy was interrupted with change, the death of Moses. All of a sudden, the Israelites found themselves in a new wilderness, a wilderness of grief, a wilderness of questioning, what next, God? You also have experienced loss. Your two beloved pastors have been called to serve in another congregation. And I know for a fact, because I was blessed to have them in my youth group back at Westminster, that they had many wonderful gifts in ministry and in leadership that they shared with you, and you're going to miss them. The compassion and the love which they served you touched you, and maybe more than you ever realized they've touched you until now. You love them, and now, probably unexpectedly for most of you, they have moved on to begin a new ministry with a new congregation who will be blessed to have them just as you were blessed. That, my friends, is the elephant in the room this morning, right? We all know that. You know, people are interesting creatures, at least I think so. Even those of us who call ourselves Christians have expectations. And when things seem to be good and moving in the correct direction, at least what we think is the correct direction, when things are satisfying and comfortable to us, we feel we've reached a sort of unchangeable kind of nirvana. We may feel with certainty that we are moving on that right path with God, the one that He has set right before us, and therefore we are certain nothing is going to change. We are on God's plan. Nothing is going to change. The path is going to stay straight. That's a nice place to be, isn't it? It feels good. God, however, has plans that evolve more than our comfortable expectations. The plan that God had for His special people that were following Moses was being fulfilled as they reached that entrance to the promised land, this place flowing with milk and honey, and was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's descendants. But if you look at that scripture closely, if you re-examine it, You see that God never promised Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob that any particular person was going to lead them into that promised land. He didn't say, oh, well, Moses is going to lead you into the promised land. Jack's going to lead you into the promised land. Betty's going to lead you into the promised land. He didn't say anything like that. God never named any one particular person who would actually enter the promised land with the Israelites. Not even Moses, their faithful leader through the wilderness experience. The journey of faith and ministry that we make with our pastors is often deeply meaningful and intimate. It is rich with hope for the future of good things that are yet to come. And we believe God brings them into our lives. But what is difficult for us to accept is that sometimes, or okay, every time, a pastor is going to move on. We may say and do all the right things. We may seem to be on the brink of great things, and yet they leave us. Not because they don't want to be with us anymore, but because God calls them to serve elsewhere. Now, God had his reasons for not allowing Moses to be the one to lead the Israelites into the promised land, just as God has his reasons for change here at Hagerstown. In Moses' case, it was because of a moment of disobedience on Moses' part. However, one of the mysteries of God, my friends, is that we don't always know the reasons for change, do we? We just don't always know the reasons for change. Yet we can be assured that God is in control. So as the story goes, Moses died in the plains of Moab at the ripe old age of 120 years after seeing that promised land. And the Israelites were heartbroken. After burying their beloved leader, they entered a time of mourning, we're told, and we're told it was for 30 days. The normal period for mourning for a Jewish person in the Jewish culture was 7 days. But for those persons such as Moses, who were great and who were well known, the mourning period was even longer. It's uncertain what specific mourning practices were in place at that time with Moses. But the Judaism includes elaborate practices of mourning, the loss of a loved one. They might rend or tear their clothes. They weep. And some may have even shaved their heads, poured ashes over the heads, or even sat in dust or ashes as part of their grief. Mourning is, in its simplest sense, grief over someone's death. It is a process of grieving a loss. And in its more complex sense, grief occurs any time that we lose something special to us. Not just a death. You, my brothers and sisters, are in a time of mourning because of the loss of Tim and Audrey and Anita's presence here among you. This is a time when grief is upon many of you, and we all experience grief differently. We all experience it differently. This is a time when you're going through a grieving process, a journey that needs to be made before you can embark on a brand new journey. And going through the grieving process clears that path for a healthy new beginning. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book titled On Death and Dying. It's a wonderful book. Boring as heck, but a great book. She did a study on the grieving process and identified stages people use to cope with their grief. She specifically addresses these stages as they are related to the death of a loved one. However, we can apply them to the grief that we feel whenever we experience loss. The grieving stages that Kubler-Ross identified are shock, anger, bargaining, denial, depression, and acceptance. If we apply these stages to your loss of your pastors, they may look something like this. Shock. Oh, we can't believe they're gone. We didn't see this coming. How could this have happened? Or you might feel anger. Angry with them for leaving. Why did they leave? The feeling of anger over something that may have happened to drive them away. Maybe you're blaming somebody else for something that happened, and you're angry about that. Or angry at God. How could you, God? How could you do that to us? You might experience bargaining. Hey, God, when they get there, help them to see that that was the wrong place to go and bring them right on back. And if you do, God, I'll be at church every Sunday. Oh, my. Some of it might be a denial. You might have expected to come this morning and to find them here and wish that it was all a bad dream, but guess what, friends? It wasn't. It wasn't. And then, because of your denial, you might have an unwillingness to let go and move on to something new. And depression. Some of you have had a close enough relationship with them that you might feel depression, a great sadness upon you. And you might say to yourself, I'm not going back. I just can't go back. Or I'll go, but I'm not going to get involved. And then, of course, there's that thing called acceptance. Okay, this happened, and now it's time to move on. Perhaps you can find yourself now in one of those stages. And something else that's important to remember about these wonderful stages that I've mentioned to you, that while it may sound like we go through step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, like it's this neat little package, it's not. It's not. These stages that Kubler-Ross identified are experienced randomly, revisiting those who are grieving at unexpected times. One may feel that she or he has arrived to that time of acceptance, but finds themselves suddenly in the throes of depression again. When we sing a hymn, perhaps, that Tim and Audrey taught us, that we loved, learned to love so much, and so we associate that hymn with them. Or maybe, oh, heaven forbid, I changed something. It's not the way Tim and Audrey did it. So you might find yourselves thrown back into those feelings of grief again. But it is very important for us to acknowledge what we are feeling, my friends. To allow ourselves to go and visit with those feelings when they come up again, to recognize, kind of take them out and look at them. Oh yeah, that's what I'm feeling again. Okay, goodbye. So we can release it. The grieving process should not be rushed. It should not be rushed through or overlooked. It is a journey that you will need to make with the support of one another, accepting and appreciating that not everyone may be experiencing it exactly as you are or at the pace that you are. Encouraging one another along so that people don't get left behind and stuck in a place that is unhelpful to the rest of the body. It works something like this. A silkworm was struggling out of the cocoon, and an ignorant man saw it battling as if it were in pain. And so he went and he helped it to be free. But very soon after it fluttered, it died. The other silkworms that struggled out without the help suffered, but they came out into full life and beauty with wings that made them strong for flight by their battle for their new existence. You see, we need to allow ourselves to struggle through our grief so that we will emerge from our grief stronger and prepared for the new path God lays before you. God does have a plan for the Hagerstown Church of the Brethren. Do you hear that? God does have a plan for you. God will provide another to shepherd you, just as God provided Joshua following Moses' death to lead the Israelites into that promised land. And because they mourned, they were ready. They were ready to follow him on the path that God had provided them. The book of Deuteronomy does not end with the Israelites entering the promised land. You have to go to the book of Joshua to start reading that. As readers of this story, we are left now at the point between an ending and a beginning, just like you. You're at the point of an end and a beginning. The Israelites' journey was not complete, neither is yours. The Israelites had not arrived. They were poised for a departure. So are you. Over the next few Sundays, we're going to be reflecting on worship and the role it has for us during this time of our mourning. We will also explore the bond we have with each other and how that affects our ability to move forward on this journey that God has put us on in a time of transition. And if you feel the need to talk with someone about your feelings of grief with the loss of Tim and Audrey, please let me know. I'm ready. I'm ready to listen. And I want to help you through your grief. God is nowhere finished, nowhere near finished with Hagerstown Church of the Brethren. Hold on to that promise that God is with you always, and cling to the hope that God is getting you ready, even now, for something new. Amen? Amen. Amen.